So the Hajj, I think it, you know, let's actually envision ourselves on Hajj. The interesting thing is, we really are on Hajj. I mean, we're on Hajj since the time that Allah said Kun to us. We've been on Hajj, a continuous Hajj. But then these events highlight that. I mean, this is how I really see that sacred events, holy days, highlight certain aspects of our existence, you know. It's not that they're really different. They're really happening all the time, all the holy events. You could say we're always in a mirage, we're always, you know, fasting, we're always feasting. I mean, this process, but it's very important to focus when the sacred calendar comes, and that's part of the benefit of a sacred calendar. Every tradition has a sacred calendar, so you could say, well, why do we have to focus on this? You know, we could just live in a sort of general sense of, you know, openness and love to God. And yes, but we would be missing the benefit of a specific tradition. And it's not just that we are, you know, how would you say, hemmed in by that tradition. Because on a conscious field, we can be with all the sacred traditions, with all the people, with all creation. And we must be. We cannot just see ourselves as an isolated group. But we are undergoing these this sacred calendar, these holy events, in order to really focus on aspects of life that are universal. And so the universality of the Hajj, of the journey, you know, to God, and the journey from our self, our limited self, to the divine self, and the journey from the world to the divine, the journey from the dark to the light. Allah says that, you know, that's the main Hajj. I take you from the darkness into the light. Now that darkness is not just negativity. It's the darkness of the womb. It's the darkness of being uncreated. It's the darkness of the potentiality which has not manifested. These are all aspects of darkness, you know. And then even it's the mystic darkness, which is such intimacy, you know, with Allah, that there is no here or there or up and down or separate forms. And so I would like for these, I think it's 9 days until Arafat. Arafat comes Friday, and Friday we're going to be here anyway. It's a Friday, so we'll be having the Jummah. So, and then at Asr time, we'll stand with our peer, you know, as we do, and we'll be transported by his spirit to Mount Arafat. And that's been our tradition in this dergah for quite some years. So, alhamdulillah, it's very, very blessed. The day of Arafat is very, very, very potent, spiritually potent day. And as we know, that there's even you know, what the Prophet has said, that Arafat is Hajj. There is no Hajj unless you stand on Arafat. It's the essence of the Hajj. So, that how beautiful, you know. Just the standing and the waiting for God. That's the real Hajj, which it is. You know, that's the deeper meaning. So, as we know, in the Hajj, the pilgrims don their garments, and it said they don't kill anything. You're not allowed to hunt at the time of the Hajj. So I don't know if those are just the 3 days. I'm going to look this up. You can eat fish. You can fish, I think, but you cannot hunt land game. So it's also a time of nonviolence. And you're not supposed to speak harsh words. You're not supposed to argue in this period of time. It's a time of, you know, really the salam. Allah is giving us the salam, and we are giving the salam to all creatures, all beings. So it's a time when we really shouldn't kill anything. And you know, we could also choose not to eat meat in this time, in this week. You can have fish, as the Hajis eat fish, but, you know, I don't want to insist too much on anything, because the main thing is an inner thing, it's a contemplative thing, it's, you know, really journeying to God. So every moment we should feel that we are journeying to God, to Allah, and that Allah is drawing us and calling us. So it's really a contemplation and feeling that we are being pulled, alhamdulillah, until that gate, you know, of death. And whether it's death, the dying before dying, or the dying of the physical body, which is simply that gate, that passage. Inshallah, the dying before dying first. So, alhamdulillah. Yeah. So everything that we can contemplate our life's events in terms of the Hajj. And I think all the great prophets have done Hajj, have made, you know, Hajj. And think of Mary. It said, Hazreti Maryam, she went to, it's a place in the east, you know, to give birth. Or to conceive, I think, even. But she left her family, it says, and she went behind a veil. So again, I mean, does that mean a physical veil? It could be. But what it means really is that she veiled herself from the world, and she did not engage with the world. And then she received the Holy Spirit in her spirit and in her body. And so, alhamdulillah, that was her Hajj. That's her journey. And we know Abraham's journey from his father's household, alayhi salam, and Abraham. We know Moses' journey, alayhi salam. And it's interesting. Adam and Eve, you could say, journeyed from paradise, the Garden of Eden, that was their Hajj to the earth, you know. And there was the Kaaba, actually. They met each other, it said. They found each other again, because they both came out separately somehow, I don't know, in the journey to the earth, and then they met each other. They were looking for each other, and they met at Arafat. Isn't that amazing? They met at Mount Arafat. And so that's part of the significance of Mount Arafat. It's the meeting. It's the meeting with the beloved. It's the reunion. And I think then the Kaaba came down too, or manifested at that time, so that the earth had its kind of holy temple from the very beginning of humanity's journey to the earth. So that was the Hajj into the earth. And it's part of our journey too. And then the Hajj back into the divine pleasure. You know, it said that they prayed for 300 years. They wept and prayed and pleaded and, you know. And then Allah said, yes, you know, I love you, I forgive you, I inspire you, and I will inspire those who follow you. And I will protect and care, you know, those who follow the inspiration that I have sent to you. So, and Noah's journey, you know, another Hajj on the ark. It's very interesting if you come to, and then our prophet's Hajj, when he was told that he should leave Mecca because he was going to be killed. That very night, he was going to be killed. So his, you know, companion, Abu Bakr Siddiq, found mounts for them, and Hazreti Ali stayed in his bed to meet the ones who were going to come and kill him, and they slipped out, and Allah covered them, made them invisible. That's what's so interesting, made them invisible.
Was that when they were in the cave?
Mm-hmm. And then they took refuge in the cave where the spider wove a web and the dove made a nest.
What's the Shekinah, the story of the Shekinah?
The Sakina, or the, yeah, the Sakina, has descended, you know, many times. But one of the times that is mentioned is before a battle. I don't know if it's Badr or when the community was suffering and under duress, and it said that, you know, grace descended to refresh the hearts and restore them. Ali Rahman had an experience. It was not this Ramadan, the Ramadan before. It was on the day of the Eid when we do that big zikr, and we were all standing in the zikr, and he literally saw rain falling on us. So that's grace, you know, it can be seen by the eye of the heart. And Sheikh Noor would see it. He would actually also speak of a rain that would fall when people were taking hand. You know, he saw it in a particular powerful way. But it's refreshing to both the heart, the spirit, and the body. Obviously, the Shekhinah is a very similar understanding of the descent of the divine presence, and she's feminine. Yeah. So it's said that Huwa is the feminine form of Hu. It's interesting. Huwa. the feminine essence. Isn't that interesting? That's from our friend Shuaib. Muhyiddin, our scholar of Ibn Arabi, he's so, alhamdulillah, let's pay attention to our own Hajj and in these days. And alhamdulillah, so the zikr is a Hajj. You know, the zikr is a tremendous Hajj. Every week we go on Hajj.
Coming here is Hajj.
It is, okay, coming here is Hajj.
I was speaking to a friend of mine this morning who's a Jungian. Uh-huh. And he was talking about how Jung himself was speaking of this pattern, and it sounds like the Hajj. Hmm. Like the pattern to a certain point, he said around 40 years old, the person retreats and then goes inward, and then they go out again. I said, oh my goodness, that sounds familiar.
That does. That's interesting. Yeah. Well, Jung was very in touch with, you know, these deep movements of the spirit. And maybe he had even consulted. But these are universals. And I think it's very important that we look at whichever tradition we're discipling in and see its universality and bring out its universality and apply its universality, you know. Good. So otherwise, traditions tend to implode, you know, and then people become narrow and confined by the tradition. So,
Shaker, would you say then ultimately it doesn't really matter what tradition you choose or you bind yourself to, as long as you are
deeply
sincerely
involved?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if I said that, it wouldn't be quite true, because we are guided to the tradition that's right for us. Mm-hmm. So it does matter. You know, and people have often searched through different ones until they come to one that really matches their own constitution or their, you know, own deeper spirit. So, and I don't know in the larger sense, honestly. I don't know. So I'd rather not say, but I'd just say it's important that we find the path that is suited to us. And obviously there are various paths. Allah has left various paths on earth, and even in Quran it said, you know, they will be valid. It mentions, you know, and told in the final day. So, and these are the authentic traditions, obviously. Yeah. But then also the importance to reach out again and to, you know, we're in a time where we have access to many traditions, and so